What's up, small business heroes? I'm so excited for today because I have my friend Jordan Gill on the podcast. Many of you might have heard of her. She's at System Saved Me, and she's also a seven-figure business strategist, consultant, and my personal operations go-to woman. She's also the founder of Make Your Mark Live. And what's really incredible is that only in its second year of this event, since she founded it, she has been able to secure six-figure sponsorships. So we're going to talk all about how to get sponsorships, even if you are just ideating an event, even if you don't have a big following, how to get a company to pay for your event so that it's a win-win for all. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Jordan.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Gloria. I'm excited to dive in. It's a topic that I don't get to talk about a lot. So you're getting the exclusive as a true PR, like... person.
Worldwide exclusive, like MTV days, the drop. Yeah. But, you know, I know that you can talk about so many things, and I think usually you talk about like operations and back end, but I wanted to talk about getting someone else to pay for your events. I mean, this is like the pinnacle. And I think the misconception is that you have to have a huge following. You have to be a big YouTuber. You have to know someone, but you've been able to secure sponsorships in the very beginning of your business. So can you kind of walk us through like, what is a sponsorship? Like, how do you define what that is? Let's start there.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start because, again, there's so many words that people use nowadays that it can kind of get a little muddied. But for sponsorship, it is that somebody is, again, exchanging money for exposure, attention, reach. And again, a lot of people think, oh, well, I have to guarantee leads or sales in order to get sponsorships. That is not the case. And that's like not how sponsorship works, really. So I'm glad that we were able to define it from a much broader standpoint so people understand that it's not necessarily like, oh, I'm paying you $5,000 and I expect 500 leads. You know, that's not how it works. It's companies that understand the power of being in the right room and creating touch points, right? I would say that's probably the best definition.
I love that you defined it like that because a lot of times we're thinking tit for tat, right? I scratch your back, you scratch mine, but in a very measurable way. But I think what's so beautiful from what you created is it's not the affiliate partnership where it's like, okay, if you sell X amount of things, you're saying that people just want to be in like proximity with you and they're willing to pay, you know, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to sponsor an event where maybe there is not a direct correlation to the lead. So can you talk to me a little bit about how does one even approach or ideate that?
You really have to like get in the mindset of the sponsor. So understanding that, again, in the year 2024 that we're in, it's tough to get in front of people because everybody is throwing ads, everybody's throwing social, it's just loud. And so to be able to be in a room full of people that are all centered around a similar discipline or a similar industry or a similar lifestyle is extremely valuable to partners and sponsorships because instead of wasting money again on Facebook ads, potentially to where again, you're getting in front of a lot of people who aren't even your target. It's like, no, all of these like pretty close to all of these people are my target. And so I'm going to pay top dollar because I'm going to be physically in the room with them and talking to them eyeball to eyeball without any other distractions. And that's extremely valuable. And so when I first started figuring out, okay, what is the value that my attendees bring and my event brings is that I have a lot of people in my audience that are that have their own platforms, so to speak. So whether that's a podcast, whether that's an event themselves, whether that's a big email list, a big Instagram, a big whatever. And so the opportunity for people to communicate with those individuals means that potentially they have found kind of the super connectors of our industry. And so if they can get in with the super connectors, then they can get, you know, into even more audiences from there, right? So last year we had about 120 in person and 120 online because it was hybrid, which is a lot and don't recommend, but that's besides the point. It's a lot. And then this year we're shooting for 150 in person. So again, not a lot. It's a good amount. Like it's not chump change at all, but it's not like I'm doing thousands, you know, it's not social media marketing world or anything, you know? So when it comes to sponsors, being able to tell the story of who's in the room, what their either spending power or attention power is really huge. So I survey my attendees. I know that, again, most of them are between 35 and 44. 65% of them are married. I think like 65-70% have a bachelor's degree and 45% have a master's or doctorate. You're very smart. I'm like, I don't know why you're following me, but I'm here for it. And then their household income like is pretty high. So I think I have, again, around that 60% mark also have a household income of $150,000 or more, which is really what, again, a lot of sponsors want to see. So sharing all of that with sponsors, having that data is crucial. And so for you to just go and say, hey, I want you to sponsor my event, if you don't have actual hard numbers and you haven't surveyed your people, if you don't have even, again, the generic demographics, like, then it's going to be really hard for you to get sponsorships, because that's really what they care about. They want to know who your people are, what their spending power is, and, you know, just if it's an audience match for them, which is what they're ultimately looking for.
Yeah, I love what you said about you have to survey so that I think a lot of times when people approach this type of relationship, it's from a place of like, okay, what is my own audience? Mm-hmm. Instead of realizing that you're a vessel of information for your audience and their audience. So in order to open that up, it just gives you so much more leverage in the conversation, because I can only do so much with my platform. It's growing. But then if I add, you know, an army of all of my community, that's so much more. So I think that's a first game-changing mindset to approach. The second one is what you said about audience matching, because it's not really about their spending power. It doesn't have to be, right? So I can give another example. We have a lot of beauty founders. And so maybe their audience, they don't have a lot of spending power, but they will spend it on beauty. So would that be a good idea, where it's like, maybe they don't have $150,000, but they buy a new beauty product every single week or something like that. Exactly. And I can approach a beauty sponsor.
Totally. Yeah. I would approach it in the sense of, and there's some questions that we ask where it's like, in the next 18 months, like, which of these things are you planning to invest in? And it's like, buy a house, it's buy a new car, it's get another degree or education. It's kind of some of those generic things, or hire a team member, like those sorts of things, so that we can then take that data. And if a bunch of people say hire a team member, then I'm going to go to an Upwork. I'm going to go to a Belay assistance. I'm going to go to somebody else, a hiring team, and say, hey, my people are going to be looking to hire. So you probably want to be in the room so that you can have, you know, a conversation with them. And if it's beauty, I would definitely have a question in there that says something along the lines of like, how often are you purchasing a product related to beauty or skincare or wellness or whatever? And I would have those be like, again, I don't think you would ever have somebody do it every day, but I suppose every day, like every week, every month, like every quarter, and see what the data says from there. And then, you know, we also ask different questions like, how many team members do you currently have? What's your revenue of your business? We ask two around business investments. So that was kind of the life investment one. And business investment is like, are you getting a new website, new brand photos, legal help, bookkeeping, new office equipment, new tools and software. So all those things. So again, it's like, well, I know my people. So like we're courting a email marketing provider right now. And I actually have screenshots that say, oh, Jordan Gill recommended you to me and I went and bought X email service provider. Or I'm so glad that I joined this email service provider by Jordan's recommendation. I have screenshots of that in my slide deck specifically to this email marketing provider, because I'm like, I need you to know I'm already doing this. Like, I'm already like an advocate for you. And so therefore it's going to be a super aligned partnership as well. So even for brands that you really enjoy and are already using, like, go ahead and share about them. And then again, encourage people to share back. Like, another one that I really want, we probably won't be able to go after it this time, but I'm like ready to seed it for next time, is I really want Aura Ring. That would be like my ultimate. I have so many screenshots of people who, when I talked about my Aura Ring, how it's impacted my health and my business, like, I have tons of screenshots of people saying, I bought the Aura Ring because of you. Like, so I'm able to then tell that story when I go and approach Aura Ring. So it doesn't feel random where they're like, why is a systems girl coming to us? It's like, oh, she's coming to us because she's about systems. She has chronic illness. Like, she struggles with chronic fatigue specifically. And Aura Ring is positioning themselves as a sleep tracker. So knowing that, I'm going to then tailor my approach similar, you know, in any PR pitching, I'm going to tailor my approach to what it is that they're trying, what the messages that they're trying to get out there, right? So instead of me going to them and being like, oh, like, I'm going to share about my exercise stuff, like, that would be more helpful for like a Fitbit, you know, or like my fitness pal or something. Aura is known and wants to be known for sleep tracking. That's like something that they have stated multiple times. So help yourself and familiarize yourself with what the brands clearly are trying to accomplish out there. And again, add that into your pitch as well.
Ooh, I love that you said. And it's funny because, you know, our podcast is called Small Business PR, and we don't have a lot of people talking about events. And the reason why I wanted to get you on here was because you still use the same relevance. You still use pitch writing. Everything that you want is on the other side of sending a pitch. So I think there's so much relevancy what you said about adjusting it for ordering or adjusting it for their audience and just taking a step back from talking in first person and being like, what is relevant to them? So I think that's so powerful. Now, let's say I have an idea. I have an event and I know what is a tool or software. Mm-hmm. What is the right first way to like liaise with them? Do I go on LinkedIn? I start like finding people. What is the first step?
Yeah, I will usually look them up to see if they've partnered at other events before. So I tend to be already kind of on the pulse of different events. So a couple of people I'm talking to, a friend of mine, Laylee, had an event in January and I was introduced to them. Actually, not through her, but a few of the other people who were at that event and connected with those platforms. And so I got the intro email between me and the partnerships person at the organization. So looking to see if they already are doing events, that is going to help you tremendously. Like if you're going after a company who isn't trying to go after events, actually, again, Dubsado, who's already a signed partner of ours for our event, they did not do events for the longest time. And I was just like sitting here, just like waiting to pounce and be like, when they do events, like they're going to do my event. And so I think that was their second event that they signed ever. But that was like a post in their Facebook group that said, hey, we want to sponsor events. Let us know what events you're going to. I had somebody tag me in that post. So I saw it, which was perfect. I applied. And then, yeah, like within a week, like they were a partner of mine, but that's because I have an 8-year relationship with them, and whatnot. But finding people that are already doing events is like number one for sure. Now, if you cannot find them, so look through hashtags of different events that you know that may be similar to what you're doing. Look at their sponsorships. I'm always like, people, you know, are flipping through their books on the Instagram stories, and I will like pause it and screenshot the sponsorships page, like from someone's Instagram story. That's how like intense I am. I'll write down the list and then I'll say, okay, these people are not, you know, relevant. These people may be relevant, or this is who I was looking to see if they were already doing events. So that's number one. Number two is if you can't find them doing an event, then we definitely need to see if events are even on their radar. Because the thing is if they aren't, then you're not really going to convince them to do an event. Like it's too big of a investment of their time, money, energy, all the things. So, and that's okay, right? If they don't, again, Dubsado was not doing events for the longest time. And I just, you know, was like, okay with it. But I always had my radar on them because they are a really aligned partner. And so it could also be where, you know, they don't do events, but they would be willing to do a free trial. Or again, if it's like a makeup or beauty company, it's like, oh, well, they'll like send us a free little trial of body scrub or whatever their product is and be able to give that to attendees. So again, it doesn't even have to be financial or time in the sense of they're like speaking or at a booth. It could just be like, we just want little testers and things for people to, because that reminds me of Create and Cultivate, which I'm sure you're familiar with. Like I went to their Dallas event and the swag bag itself was insane. I have never seen, and maybe you've seen them all the time, Gloria, so like pardon my like shock, but I was just like, I never, and it's like full size stuff too. Like that was what was blowing my mind, was just like, you expect like the little like one or two time use stuff, but these are like full lipsticks, full body washes, shampoos, brush. Like it was just like, what is happening? And that's like what caused that frenzy even. And so that's a win for Create and Cultivate, because people are like, if you want to get the dopest like beauty products and like things, you got to come to Create and Cultivate. And it's a win for the beauty products, because they're getting shown on everyone's Instagram when they're doing all their swag bag reviews and showcasing and getting people, you know, their products. So that's an easy, again, like, well, it's monetary from the beauty product. People obviously take an expense there, but it's not a cash expense on top of that per se. So I would say, yeah, if they don't do events, then just see if there's like a way for you to get some product into their hands.
Ooh, that is so good. There's always, what I love about you is that you're so resourceful, and through your resourcefulness, you've been able to open up our audience's minds into like, well, maybe it's a no, but the no is not really a no. It's a maybe, let's try something else. And that's really what I try to do with our PR members as well. It's like, if a journalist is saying no, well, maybe can you point me to the right person? And I love what you said about swag bag, because anything to get your audience of value, to keep them coming back, it's only going to be win-win for you. So I love what you said about that. So make sure that they do events. If they don't do events, see if there's a way where they can give you something in the swag bag that makes it win-win for all. Is there any other out-of-the-box ideas that have really worked for, let's say, a company that doesn't do events and they don't have full-size products to give?
Yep. So if it is more of a, it could be a service, but this also could be on the beauty side. I'll share what it is on the service side and then how I would adjust it to beauty is, like, for example, my audience all want to be speakers. Like, that's something that's on the radar for them. And so I created I created like a VIP ticket to where people could speak on our stage and do like a 10-minute, like short TED Talk-ish kind of session. And they got B-roll and video and all this sort of stuff. And then on top of that, they also received, and this is where the partnership came in, a service from somebody I knew who was a speaker coach. And she did an hour call with each of them to help refine their talks. And then she got to MC all of the VIP talks at the actual event. So basically, she was getting, we had done like 16 at the time. We're only doing, I think, 6 or 8 this year. But so she literally was having like 16 case studies, essentially, of people she's literally worked with directly. And so if people are experiencing these VIP talk people, and they're like, oh, like, I love their vibes, like, obviously, she did a good job. If I want to speak that well, I obviously want to work with her. So that's a way to, again, and so my partnership was that she gave an hour per person, and we covered her hotel, we covered her meals, and she got to MC the VIP talks. And then there was like a QR code for lead gen. So, and I came up with that. Like, that was something that she didn't come to me for. That was something as an events host that I came up with and said, this would be really valuable for my people. What could I do in exchange that would make it feel really good? And so on the beauty or like even food side, like something that could be interesting in that way is like demos or even competitions, contests. And here's what I mean is if you have a product that is something that like, again, I'll show like a services side. So we're going to do this thing called a secret showcase at my upcoming event. And I'm speaking with a social media scheduler and talking about, okay, if we do this secret showcase and we then want everyone to go and share their secret on their Instagram or on their LinkedIn or wherever, can we create it to where if they sign up for a trial account, there's templates already inside that make it really easy for them to take the secret they just shared, add it to their social medias and share it out. And then if they do share it out, you know, then they could raffle to win a free year of that social media scheduler. So that's, again, a service one. But for food or things like that, like beauty could be, okay, we want to show how easy it is to use this highlighter and have like 3 people come up on stage and try on the highlighter themselves and really show and demonstrate how easy it is. Or with food, like, again, maybe you have like a salad topper or something. And so then you could do like a mini competition of people making the best salad and the best salad wins, whatever. Like, it's the demos and contests and stuff like that are also a really cool opportunity that I've seen, again, too, with a lot of brands. They're very interested in that interaction, getting the free trials, stuff like that.
Ooh, I love that so much. Now, the first thing that came to mind was it seems like what you're from what you're saying, there's no like hard and fast rule for what it looks like and how much money it is. So it's kind of amorphous. So can you give us some do's and don'ts when it's kind of like, well, you make your own rules.
Right. Welcome to entrepreneurship. With partnerships, I think it just, I generally have an understanding of value of like how valuable the people are in my audience, how valuable being on our stages, et cetera, et cetera. So when somebody comes to me and wants to partner and there's either an exchange of some sort or there is, again, even money exchanged, I have an idea that feels best to me and I can negotiate only so far. Like I'm down for negotiating and I think it's an important part of the process. And when it is kind of like your rules, so to speak, with your event, I think that it's extremely important to know like where on the spectrum you are most comfortable. Because what is not going to feel good is if you lowball yourself and then it just like doesn't feel good, and, you know, in the moment you're doing having to do all this work and then it just doesn't feel like an even exchange. And I don't expect it to be 100% per se. And if anything, like I'm always going to throw in additional stuff like, okay, we'll do some Instagram reels, we'll do a solo email blast to make up for whatever the difference is. So know what is leverageable in your event, you know, are there, you know, interlude opportunities? We have like our snack breaks can be sponsored. And so again, there may be like littler, smaller stuff versus like our welcome parties, like, right, like 15,000 and some of our bigger stuff. So knowing again and having some of those smaller things that could be social media, email, it could be snack breaks, it could be like a morning meditation thing, it could be just whatever those smaller opportunities are, knowing, okay, if we're off a little bit or if someone is feeling like the value exchange isn't there, then what do I have to give to kind of like just like bump mine up a little bit?
Oh, I love that. Just get creative with it. I love what you said about Instagram posts. I love what you said about email blasts, shout out, maybe even, and this is one that you probably use a lot, it's like, I will also refer you to three or four other people whose audience. So making those introductions, those non-tangibles that can also be very valuable. Yep. Now, I know what a lot of people are thinking is, well, won't the sponsors want to measure some kind of result? What do you say if you are dealing with a sponsor that wants some kind of measurable result?
Yes. So if somebody is ever coming to you and requiring leads or sales, I would say they either are not savvy with sponsorships or they haven't done very many of them, or like they just are not probably going to be a good fit. And that's not because you can't give them leads or sales, but for there to be a requirement. And even with that, sometimes, you know, I've gotten asked like, oh, do we get the full attendee email list? And my answer is no. Can you give a direct lead gen? And here's the different ways we do that, depending on the packages that you respond to. Absolutely. But we aren't just going to give email lists. Number one, that wasn't in my terms and conditions when people bought the tickets. And number two, like, it just feels as though, like, I like to give people their agency and their ability to choose. So that's important to me. But that's a deal breaker for some people, right? And that's okay. And you have to walk away. If that is a line for you, that's cool, right? That's totally cool. And you can walk away and someone else will be super excited about the opportunity. So for me, you know, when it comes to what a sponsor can expect from you or what may feel like, again, just the waters to navigate, when it comes to like metrics, reach is something obviously that probably most sponsors are going to ask about. Reach meaning, okay, my Instagram has 32,000 followers, my email list is like 6,500, my threads is randomly like 6,000. I don't know where those people came from, but it's awesome. So, you know, you have those general numbers, and then there's like, you know, how many touch points will that have? And you know, people generally speaking will value a solo email blast higher than a social media post, because you just don't know algorithmically what's going to do well. Even if historically your stuff does well. You just never really know with campaigns. So knowing, again, the weight of different things, like, again, speaking on stage is going to have way higher weight than snack breaks or whatever, right? And that's not like a knock. It's just is. So metrics are reach. We do encourage them to have some sort of lead gen, and so that they can, you know, track that from their end. And then also we do follow up with our sponsors a couple months afterwards and just say, hey, like, any like further things that we can do in order to, you know, ensure that you're getting the value out of partnering with us. And so we've done little campaigns here and there to fill the gaps. If we felt like it didn't quite work out as we had planned, then it's like, okay, well, how else can I additionally provide value? Not because I'm trying to get you to sponsor next time, but just because, like, again, I want it to feel good, and I want it to feel like an even exchange as much as possible. So, and that can happen, and that's, you know, part of the process. But I would say metrics are reach, again, just general value, and value meaning what's perceived value from their end. And maybe your people do value social media more than email blasts. That could potentially be, depending on your industry. So just like knowing that and being able to weight each of the opportunities according to the perceived value from the other side.
So the next thing that I know my audience is going to ask is, well, Jordan, I don't have a big email list like you. I don't have 30,000 people on Instagram. So how can they still get sponsorships?
Yeah. So, well, what's interesting about that is, again, if you're doing an event, my Instagram, I don't want to say is irrelevant, but I'm not, unless we've like put that in the package per se, like they aren't even really getting seen by those 30,000. They really only care about the 120 to 150 that are in person. So again, if you're going out there for events specifically, more than likely they care about those 100, 150, 200, however many people you got in the room, 20 people in the room. I know people who have retreats and stuff that get sponsorships for 20 people, 25 people. So what matters is, again, how high of, you know, influence do these people have, or again, how high is their spending power? And so, so you can have 20 people. Now, if you have 20 people who, you know, all, you know, are making 40 to 50K a year, that's not a knock to people making 40 to 50K a year. That's just going to be a lot trickier for a lot of sponsors, because they want to see that there's some space in the income for people to purchase whatever it is that obviously they are promoting. And they also do know that, again, on average, most of them will know how long it takes somebody to become a purchaser. And so, again, they're not going to say, okay, they didn't purchase immediately, this was a terrible partnership. Like, it's sometimes 6 months, 9 months, a year later that they're expecting this person to turn around. So, again, it's just a lot longer cycles than a lot of us entrepreneurs are looking at and are used to. So also don't feel bad that it's like at the end of the event and they report zero sales or something. That may not be abnormal for them. That may be pretty on par. As long as they get their leads and they can nurture, then they're going to be happy, you know? So don't also like assume like a negative when, again, somebody could be freaking stoked, you know? So you just never know.
You never know. Like, now that you're in people's minds, right? It's on them to convert. It's on theirs. So it could be a week, it could be a month, but what matters is that it's probably better than just Facebook ads and other things. So it's just another way of traffic and visibility.
Yeah.
Oh, I could go on for hours asking all these things, but I think the last question I want to ask before we wrap up is, well, do I need a really fancy pitch kit and a pitch deck? And what does that all look like when you're sending that initial outreach email?
Yeah. So I just created mine in Canva. I would say it's decently branded and like all of that stuff. So it's definitely not just like a black and white situation. And even when we didn't have, like when we did our first event, we didn't have pictures to like of the event and whatnot. So we kind of just had to fill it in with a bunch of pictures of me. But I would definitely suggest, and they will all ask you for a pitch deck. So again, that's just part of the process. So you might as well just have one ready. And I would say ours talks a little bit about our event, about our audience from a survey demographics perspective, as well as, again, what they're intending to purchase in the next 18-ish months. business and life. And then it goes into a little bit of some of the opportunities. We don't get into like price points or anything like that in the deck, because again, a lot of people package stuff. So it's all kind of bespoke. I would not have packages for sponsors. Like, I found that every single partnership is looking for something a little different. And so to say like, here's our silver, here's our gold, here's our platinum, like they're going to literally mess up those. They're going to just intermingle all over the place. So you might as well just save yourself the headache of doing all that work and just say, okay, here's like, if you're wanting like larger opportunities, here's what those are. Here's some smaller opportunity touch points. Here's a few just want to do like a physical item of some sort, and go from there so that it's not, yeah, I would say no to packages.
Ooh, that's so many. You got two, I got two tips in one for that question. Thank you so much. Congratulations on all of your success. It's definitely given all of us a picture of what it could look like, even at the first and second event. So even, I think even if we can do like half or 20% of the sponsorships, like I think many people would be happy. So thank you for giving us actionable tips, do's and don'ts from your experience. So appreciate you. How can people find you and get into your world and kind of what are you working on right now?
Totally. So obviously you listen to podcasts, so you can come hang out at Systems Saved Me. And I talk again about different systems and Gloria's on. And so if you're looking for a new podcast, you can check me out anywhere. SystemsSaveMe.com. There's different shenanigans that I'm up to, but my favorite place is Instagram, honestly. So if you just head over to @SystemsSavedMe, you can follow me there, connect with me. It's me in the DMs. I just am up to shenanigans always. And also my event. So if you want to come in, hang out and meet up in Dallas, it's makeyourmarklive.com. And it's, again, you can see in real time our different activations and how our partners are really truly a part of our event. And so, again, we really, when we're talking to people, say like, we don't want your logos. Like, we'll put them places, but like, what we really want is like you to be there. Like, we want your presence. My people are going to want to talk your ear off because that's how they roll. And so that also is a big selling point. Like, if you are just trying to sell logos on pages, it's going to be really tough for you to get sponsorships as well. So come to our event, check out how we do things, and connect with also really cool other online business owners.
Oh, one more thing before we hop off. I will say I've heard from other people about your event, and they all say it feels like everyone already knows each other, and it's so supportive and so inclusive. It's not like an event where you take a seat and you're all facing the stage. Yeah. Every single person I talk to say that there's a special energy in the event and it's an extension of you. And that's why you have been able to channel that message to the sponsors who are willing to pay top dollar because they really understand community. So you're obviously doing something right. Keep going, keep shining. It's important work. And we'll just have to have you back on the podcast at some point. Thank you so much, Jordan.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, Gloria.
Hey, small business hero, did you know that you can get featured for free on outlets like Forbes, The New York Times, Marie Claire, PopSugar, and so many more, even if you're not yet launched or if you don't have any connections? That's right. That's why I invite you to watch my PR Secrets Masterclass, where I reveal the exact methods thousands of bootstrapping small businesses use to hack their own PR and go from unknown to being a credible and sought-after industry expert. Now, if you want to land your first press feature, get on a podcast, secure a VIP speaking gig, or just reach out to that very intimidating editor, this class will show you exactly how to do it. Register now at GloriaChowPR.com/masterclass. That's GloriaChow, C-H-O-U, PR.com/masterclass. So you can get featured in 30 days without spending a penny on ads or agencies. Best of all, this is completely free. So get in there and let's get you featured.